Arizona Cardinals. Red Sea, rise up. Los Angeles Rams. Let's go, Ramley. Seattle Seahawks. Let's go, 12, get loud. San Francisco 49ers, home of the faithful. Quest for the West.
It's time for Quest for the West. We got two of us on today. Sam had a little bit of a hiccup. He's not going to be able to make it in today. And that's A-okay. Let me know how he was feeling about his Seattle Seahawks after that tough loss to the Los Angeles Rams. And not just a tough loss in the sense of an actual L on the scoreboard there, but a tough loss in the fact that Russell Wilson may be out 6 to 8 weeks. Evan, how big of a shakeup is that? Because I'll tell you what, man. I saw the injury happen live and was like, that doesn't look too good. Maybe he got lucky and it's just a dislocated finger. And then the fact that he couldn't come in, he was struggling to grip the football. He's going to have he had surgery to put a plate in there. And man, this could have a major impact on the entire NFC West.
It absolutely does. I mean, in my mind, it automatically drops him down to the bottom. I mean, if they go 2-2, which they say maybe 4 weeks potentially he could be back. I mean, they got to buy a week somewhere in there. So 4 games they could miss. If they go 2-2, I could see them maybe make a push, you know, towards the end of the year. But man, you go 1-3, 0-4, like it's over in this West. It's over. So big shakeup, big news, and very unfortunate for Seahawks fans.
The only bright spot, and it's the point that you just made there, is the fact that he could be back in 4. If he's back in 4, it's not the end of the world, because up next they got the Steelers, then they got the Saints, the Jags after that. So maybe Geno Smith can get something done there. It's going to be a little bit of a short week for them that week, but you know, maybe he can find a way to get something done there. And then they have the bye week. They have their bye week that fourth week. So if he can be good to go 5 weeks later, he comes back against Green Bay in Green Bay. The only problem with that is November cold weather in Green Bay, dealing with that finger in the plate there in the hand. That would not be something fun to deal with.
Nah, you got to love it. You got to love Lambeau in the November, December months. There's nothing like it. But, you know, we've seen Russ be successful before in games like those. You remember the playoff game? I want to say it was 2015 or 16 in Minnesota, when it was like -1, but wind chill, it was like -12 or something ridiculous. And
awful.
You know, they came out with a W there. So I don't think that's going to hurt Russ all that much. And you know, the cold weather actually might be good for his finger too, when it's all said and done.
You're not wrong there. It may not be the worst thing in the world for good old Russ Wilson. And it's Russ Wilson, right? This is the thing with him and with Kyler Murray, with both of them. It's absolutely infuriating as a 49ers fan. No matter how bad things may seem, no matter how great you feel you're doing against them, at some point in time, they're going to do something magical and just make your life a living nightmare. And speaking more to that, he did just that. Kyler Murray did that just exact thing this weekend. The Niners are stifling this Arizona offense. They're doing an incredible job of keeping them out of the end zone, not letting them have points, stopping drives, getting them off the field on third down, keeping Kyler off the field, Evan. And it just doesn't matter, because late in that game, an absolutely beautiful ball off of his back foot in the corner of the end zone to DeAndre Hopkins, with Josh Norman blanketed all over him. Josh Norman had great coverage. And it doesn't matter against D-Hop, because whether it's a Hail Murray or whether it's just, you know, one-on-one in space, D-Hop's going to come down with a lot of those balls.
Absolutely. Kyler Murray did just enough. And I was live tweeting during the game. I was upset at this game. Like, look, we know when it comes to NFC West stuff, a lot of the wins and the losses are going to come in the trenches, right? San Francisco has arguably the best defensive line. I don't know if a lot of people are really going to argue that with a lot of people that actually know football. And this is actually a win that the Cardinals haven't been able to do in previous years. So looking back on it, I'm very happy with the performance. I mean, a win is a win. An ugly win is better than a beautiful loss or coming out with moral victories, right? But Kyler Murray made quite a few mistakes. He tried to do too much. He missed DeAndre Hopkins earlier in the game, which led to the field goal to go to 10, and he knew it. I don't know if he was 100% there for that game. It looked like he was just off. But then you see the play to Rondale Moore where he gets it and drags his toe. And then you see a play like that to DeAndre Hopkins. So it's like you can look like trash for 98% of the game, but Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray and those type of cats are going to come back and they're going to finish off drives or they're going to make those spectacular plays off their back foot throwing behind their back, right? It's just what they do. So I went off on a little bit of a tangent. I don't know if that answered your question at all, but here we are.
It definitely did. And this is something Ant and I have been talking about pretty much all week in regards to this game and what it feels like has been going on with San Francisco now for the better part of 3 weeks, even 4 weeks. I'd take it back so far as, you know, that the game against the Philadelphia Eagles. It doesn't seem like the 49ers offensively make plays in crucial situations in which they need to make plays. They put themselves in fourth and manageables and positive yardage and positive side of the field. They put themselves in third and manageables, third and shorts, second and shorts. You know, we got a first and five at one point and then weren't able to convert and got ourselves to fourth and two on the same drive. Got a couple first downs, get you guys on a penalty. We're sitting at first and five. This should be a guaranteed we're moving the sticks here. We end up in a fourth and two and don't convert. You know, that those types of things just continually seem to happen to San Francisco through this first few weeks of the season. They have not been able to execute when it counts, when it matters most. They haven't, and the Cardinals have consistently, game in, game out, week in, week out. It doesn't seem to matter who the opponent is, what they're facing, what odds are stacked against them, whether they're playing great already or whether it's right the Jacksonville game where things aren't going well early. Jacksonville is going into halftime with a lead and coming up with some huge momentum with the huge missed field goal return for a touchdown. Doesn't matter. You guys pick up right where you left off. You get the running game going. You convert on some key third downs. You're able to punch the ball in the red zone when you're there. All of those things are boding well right now for Arizona. Speak to that. I want to hear from you about how you feel about that with this Arizona team this year, because in years past, it felt like you guys didn't make those plays when you needed to. And this year, it seems like every time you need one, a big play, a big opportunity, you have someone stepping up. And it's not just one guy, right? It's not just D-Hop. You got a cast of characters who are doing it.
Right. To speak on what you first touched on, that first and five and couldn't convert, like, let's make no mistake about this. Whoever won this game, that defensive line was the MVP for both teams. The defensive line won this game for the Arizona Cardinals. They made enough plays. And right behind that, it was Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons stuffing Trey Lance on the goal line and then went into concussion protocol and seems to be okay. Haven't heard too much about him so far.
That's good news.
Yep, he made a lot of plays in space when he needed to. As I said, I would rather let Trey Lance try to beat us on the ground than try to beat us in the air, considering Marco Wilson was out and Byron Murphy was out, and that seemed to come to fruition and almost bit us in the butt, almost did. I mean, I got some things I do want to say about Trey Lance. It was an impressive first start for him. But the Arizona Cardinals are just figuring out ways to win, and that is championship football. The defensive line came up, and they won this game. You know, Kyler Murray won a few games. The ground attack a few games ago won us one. So it's not just one player. It's not just one group. It's not just the offensive line or what have you. It's a collection of team. And the team has bought in. Everything that I read post game and yesterday, the whole team has bought in. It doesn't matter who's on the practice squad. If they're going to come up and play, they're ready to play and they're ready to go. And that is championship winning football. You love to hear that as a fan. You love your players saying that if you're the coach. And it's something that we haven't seen. It honestly reminds me of your guys' Super Bowl run a few years back when things just went your way, right?
Made plays when you needed to. Yeah. I mean, every time we needed to make a play, every time we needed a big stop, it happened. And the sad part is this year is the Niners defense has kind of lived up to that billing despite missing guys.
Absolutely.
You know, we've gotten key stops in goal line red zone situations, you know, fourth downs, third downs, getting us the ball back. The Dante Johnson strip there against you guys after failing on a fourth down, literally like a play or two later, it gets the strip. I'm like, all right, we're going to go down and punch the ball in right here. This is it. Defense finally did the thing we've been asking for weeks now. get a turnover. You finally got one. We got it at midfield. Momentum's in our favor. Let's do this. Let's go. Three plays later, we're on fourth down yet again and sitting there going, are we going to even freaking convert this one? And we don't. So it's one of those things, man.
Were you surprised how many times you went for it on fourth down?
No. No, really? Not at all. I'm not. I think Kyle wanted to do one of two things in this game. He wanted to accomplish one specific thing, and that was letting Trey and the rest of the league know how much confidence and faith he has in Trey Lance. Putting him out there in those situations that he did where it's fourth and manageable, positive side of the field, he wanted everyone to know that, hey, if it's fourth and five, if it's fourth and five, 50-yard line and in, I think this kid can get us that 5 yards, or at least help us get that 5 yards with this offense. Obviously didn't work out the way he wanted it to work out. We only converted on a couple of those opportunities. But it's funny because a lot of the play calls that he called that got stuffed on fourth and twos, fourth and ones, fourth and threes, a couple times where Trey had the ball and was running. One of them, the Kyle Juszczyk sneak that they tried that didn't work. And yep. I think that was Buda Baker that came in and just blew that up from the safety spot. It was beautiful from him. A couple of the other quarterback designed runs though that he ran on those plays later in the game on third and longs or second and longs, they drew up and dialed up and were able to get a lot of yards on those 8 or 9 yards. So I understand why Kyle's sitting there going, hey, we can run this quarterback power here, a play that I typically draw up and is designed to get 8. We can scheme this up and block this to make sure that we get 2. It's just guys didn't execute, guys don't win. And like you said, right, the trenches were going to determine they were going to be the MVP. On those key downs and situations where you guys needed to make sure we didn't get yardage, you needed to make sure the 49ers are getting off the field here. We're giving Kyler Murray the ball in positive field position and great position to go strike and put this game out of reach. Your defense stepped up and executed.
They absolutely did. Everybody from Zaven Collins to Isaiah Simmons, Robert Alford was huge back there. Our only starting cornerback was out there playing, and he had a wonderful game. Marcus Golden stepped up, but then Zach Allen came in late and got a sack there. Jalen Thompson and Buda Baker were absolutely huge. And I got to give it up to you guys too. Fred Warner was all over the field that game. And so was Jimmy Ward. Those guys played absolutely wonderful. And I can't say enough about that 49ers defense, the way you guys stifled us. But on the flip side, you know, when Max Williams goes out and then like a handful of plays later, Rodney Hudson goes out, I thought that was it. I really did.
Well, you kept talking about the interior and how strong the interior had been. And when Rodney Hudson went down, I was sitting there going, all right, this is it right here.
Floodgates opened up, dude. They just opened up. The very next possession, we were back in our own end zone and Kyler was running for his life on 3 straight plays. It just opened up for them. And then they were able to adjust. They did some things. Max Garcia, the Riley veteran, came in and looked like a deer in headlights. The very next play, they were able to march right down and they didn't score, but they were able to get out of their own way. They did what they needed to do, which then led the way to the later drives and led us to the touchdown. Max Garcia stepped in, looked horrible. They made the adjustments and looked a lot better. To me, though, honestly, Cliff Kingsbury called a pretty horrible game. It looked like they were calling a lot of plays where receivers had to run routes that took time to develop. And this wasn't that kind of game to do that. We needed quick hitters, little things here, little things there. Rondale Moore played absolutely wonderful. He spread you guys out a little bit more, but I really wanted to see more things like that.
It's funny. I did the Y'all 22 game preview Friday night. I watched your guys' game against the Rams, was breaking it down, and I saw a lot of Rondale Moore usage, whether that was as a runner, fly sweeps, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I saw it happening so much and with so much success that I literally looked at the camera, told all our patrons, I was like, I won't be surprised if we don't see as much Rondale Moore in that type of role this week, if they try and use that as some sort of decoy or motion to get the linebackers flowing so they can try and establish their run game with Connor. And with Chase Edmonds going the other direction or up the gut, you know, get those linebackers out in space and really try and spread the Niners out horizontally so they can attack a little more vertically. And that's what it seemed like he wanted to do. He didn't seem like he wanted to hand him on a lot of those options and those opportunities. He did it a couple of times. But that catch, that toe tap catch on the sideline was absolutely incredible for a rookie, but absolutely huge. Talk about backbreaking for this defense who's been playing lights out all game long. to have a situation where, right, everyone's accounted for, everyone's covered. And even in that moment, Dante Johnson is there in that moment to make that catch as hard as humanly possible. And for the kid to come up with that play, just it gave you guys, it was one of those things as a 49er fan, I watched it and I was just like, yeah, this is not our day. This is just not our day because everyone's blanketed. Kyler's having to scramble a little bit in space. He's putting one downfield where there's guys and bodies around him that aren't necessarily his own guys. He's got Rondale Moore and a couple Niners in that space, and it just doesn't matter because, you know, that's what Kyler Murray does, and it's absolutely infuriating as a 49er fan.
I know exactly how it feels. That's what Russell Wilson did to us over and over and over again, and he just breaks your heart. It's incredible, and as a fan, it's frustrating and then liberating all at the same time when it happens. So I don't know what else to say about that. I'd love to talk about Trey Lance, though. Can we get into Trey absolutely. A little bit? Are you good?
Absolutely. Well, before we get there, just give everyone an update, 49ers fans. How is Kyler Murray doing? Because we saw him on the sideline. He was doing a lot of shoulder stuff, rotations. He was grimacing a little bit. Are there any lingering effects? Is he going to be A-OK?
I've seen nothing but good things. I saw him doing that in week one.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's just maybe there is something lingering there. I'm not 100% sure. They're obviously not releasing anything on the injury reports, but I saw him do it in week one. So everything seems to be A-okay those so far, but no updates on Rodney Hudson or Max Williams. But the way Max Williams' knee got hit and how everybody
if it's not an ACL, I'd be stunned.
It's going to be something for sure. Ruptured kneecap or something ridiculous like that. Right. Gosh. Like that's what's going to happen, but nothing not, but on,
it looked ugly,
nothing on Rodney Hudson as well too. So that's the injury front right there. We just have no idea, but the way Max Garcia performed, you know, I feel fairly confident with him moving forward.
Next man up.
Yeah. Speaking of that, right.
Trey Lance was the next man up. How did you feel from a non-Niner fan perspective watching him go out there and operate? What was your takeaways? What was your analysis?
Oh, no, another Russell Wilson. That's exactly what it was. I mean, that first interception, though, that was bad. That was a bad interception. Like, you know, he'll learn from that, but it was early in the game, and you didn't really see that again. Only got sacked twice for not many yards either, by the way. He looked composed for the most part, especially when he was running and ready to go. But maybe his reads, I mean, we're not in the room, not 100% sure what they were trying to do on some of them. A lot of his reads and throws weren't 100% there. But I also got to give credit to that, and I think everybody has to the D-line and the QB hits that he was getting, because he was getting hit, dude. Whenever he was running, dude wasn't sliding either and protecting himself. He was going for it and he was getting hit, right? And then when he would try and let it fly, he was getting hit right after. So I'm sure a lot of the short throws, whether it's miscommunication, what have you, he felt that pressure and that time in his head was ticking down faster and faster with each snap. But for the most part, considering who he had to play against, I thought it was definitely something to build upon. I don't know if 49ers fans are going to go, this guy sucks, this and that, you know? So I kind of want to get 50, your pulse on that.
It's 50-50. Niners fans, it's 50-50. No. There's been the absolute crazy takes where I've seen people have been like, this dude's trash and it's time to move on and you got to cut him or get rid of him, you got to trade him. I've seen the other takes who walked out of that game like, oh, this guy is already the bona fide starter. He's great. He's incredible. Like, there were no mistakes. And it's like, okay, let's pump the brakes a little bit, right? Like, there was a lot of good. There was definitely some bad. There's definitely some things he's got to work on and improve. But there were definitely all the qualities that you look at, right, and watch and go, okay, that's what makes him so special. That's what makes this different. And it's very obvious that the playbook was limited. That's the main takeaway that I got from this game was, you know, we had a lot of people on our Monday episode, daily episode came in and said, hey, you know, Kyle's going to get this kid hurt. He's trying to get this kid hurt. And it's like, it's probably less that and more of Kyle knowing short term right now, these are the things he's comfortable doing. These are the things that are his strengths. These are the things he does best. And so we're going to put him in more of those situations than anything else. You know, I think in terms of actual designed runs, plays that were designed run calls, there was only six or seven of them. He only had six or seven designed runs, which means the rest of the seven run plays were either read options where he has the choice to either give or take himself, or they were plays where he improvises, right? Yep. He's scrambling. So, you know, calling six designed runs for Trey Lance, that's pretty minuscule. That's pretty limited there. And I get why Kyle did it. If you watch his tape from high school, you watch his tape from college, it's one of his biggest strengths was getting him in open space, or, you know, having him literally run quarterback power down the middle of the field and him bully and run over linebackers, because he's a big guy. He's not a small quarterback by any means. But no, it's not a recipe for long-term success. I think most 49ers fans know that, and Kyle Shanahan 100% knows that. But it's a short-term solution for the fact that you didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo available. And I don't know if you heard, but he's dealing with a knee sprain now, Trey is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The way that guy was running and getting hit, I mean, he ran for six. He had 16 carries, and yeah, I would venture to guess he got hit on three quarters of them easily. He got hit on 75% on those easily.
You might actually be understating, because I don't remember one where he didn't take any sort of hit at all. And it was funny because Trey talked about it in the game. He's like, I didn't really feel like I got hit that much. And I was like, well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that, but that's just not the case, my guy. It's not the case.
Ooh, raise your awareness there, son. Just a little bit there.
He's used to that, though, I think. I think that's just the way he's been playing. So for him, it's like, oh, yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah. He's not used to getting hit by J.J. Watt and those boys, though. Big difference when they're coming after you, you know, big time. Right. So overall, I thought he looked composed. I thought he was in control for some of it, too. I thought there were times in the game where he did control the game, and this was the Trey Lance show. I did get a little bit annoyed when they kept going to his parents, though, over and over
That was frustrating. That was frustrating. His mom's worried that he's running the football.
Show it on second and eight when he gets crushed, and then third and four when he gets crushed, and then at the goal line stand. Maybe don't keep going back over and over again. But, like, you know, when he got the touchdown, warranted. Totally get it. Definitely do it there. I just feel like there's so much to build on with him, and there was something special that I saw. I really, really felt that there was just a little something. I was like, okay, I think this kid can do it. And you add a guy like Kittle into the game, one for blocking, that opens up. I don't even know how many plays that could have opened up on the run game for you guys, considering what Elijah Mitchell only had 9 rushes. That itself was a spectacular win for the Cardinals, only letting 100%. Him get 6 or 9, excuse me. And then Trey Lance, you said what, maybe 5 or 6 of those were plays where he could either hold it or give it off.
Probably, right? Say even more. I would say more than that. I'd say pretty much all of Elijah Mitchell's carries, with the exception of a few, were non-read option calls. A lot of the time when he went read option, it felt like it was when Trey Sermon got in the game a little bit. And actually, that's probably not true. It's probably about 50-50 with the two of them. I think Kyle was trying to be very cautious with Elijah Mitchell. He's coming off the shoulder stuff. He's still dealing with some pain early in this week leading up into this game. So I think he's just trying to be cautious, knowing that, hey, if we can get this done on Trey's legs and his arms this week, right, against Arizona, you spare Elijah Mitchell. He gets the bye week. He'll be really good to go by the time we get to the Colts. You know, and hopefully Trey comes out of this unscathed. Unfortunately, Trey comes out of this with a little bit of a knee sprain. It doesn't look like it's going to be more than a few weeks, though, and it looks like he's going to be fine for the Colts. And it also is looking like Jimmy's going to be fine for the Colts. So for the 49ers, you're going to go into the bye week, maybe even, you know, escaping more damage. You're going to be getting guys back, which is great. You know, and that's great for us. Not so great for the Rams, though, and the Seahawks. Matt Stafford dealing with a finger, and he's dealing with some finger issues and some stuff as well. Obviously, the Russell Wilson thing is a huge blow for both of these teams. While it may have been a win for the Rams, I don't think they're coming out of that game feeling very great about the performance.
No, not at all. I mean, a win is a win is a win is a win, right?
Correct.
No matter what, you do that. But again, it's also a conference game or an inter-division game. And
correct.
All of these teams know what they're going to be facing. We have some of the best defensive lines and defenses in the NFL, just in the division, right? So it's going to be bang it out, hard plays. You're going to get hit hard. Weird things are going to happen, like the double punt or the block double punt, whatever you want to call that double kick thing.
What in the world?
Yeah, and it's all going to be won in the trenches in these games. I mean, it was when the Rams played us. We completely controlled the offensive line 100%. Kyler Murray didn't get touched. He had all the time in the world, and it showed. In this game, completely different, but the Cardinals found a way to win. So the NFL scheduling committee can please not do back-to-back NFC West games for all of us. That would be absolutely great because these teams need a break. I don't feel confident about the Cardinals going into Cleveland now next week, especially with Chandler Jones and COVID protocol now. He tested positive.
Not having Chandler Jones
is going to be huge for us. I mean, we can definitely pull it off. We're finding ways to do it, but we're 5-0. You know, at some point, you know, you're not going to go 17-0. It's not possible. I don't feel confident. The Rams shouldn't feel a whole confidence boost either coming out of that. But again,
the only good news for the Rams is, right, coming out of that game, you shouldn't feel too great. I agree with you. But you're now going into the Giants, who without Danny Dimes and maybe without Saquon Barkley. So some of the weapons there, not so much. And they're definitely, I mean, if the Rams have one question right now, it's defense. That defense is not the defense that we saw last season. It's just not. And I made this comment. This was one of the things I made early in the year. I thought that they lost a lot of pieces in the offseason that may be a little more important to that Rams defense than people think. And people kept telling me, Aaron Donald. I'm like, I get it, but that's still just one guy. And Aaron Donald's been playing at a really, really high level for a very long time in this league. It's only a matter of time before teams look at the Rams defense and go, you know what? I don't think you have the other pieces necessarily around Aaron Donald anymore to be operating at an extremely high level, and they just put their attention on slowing him down. You know, I watched that film, like I said, of you guys against them, and they did a great job of containing Aaron Donald, chipping it. I mean, at one point, they chipped Aaron Donald with Elijah Moore. What? It's like, wait, what are you doing? And guess what? It worked. Elijah Moore was able to get him to funnel inside, and it created a huge running lane for Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray stepped up in the pocket. Linebackers filled, and he was able to dump the ball in space back off to Elijah Moore off that chip. And Elijah Moore was able to take it for a big gain. It's like, okay, you know, the teams are finding ways, right, to take advantage of weaknesses. And when you play this many, like when you play each other in the NFC West as many times as these guys have played each other over the course of the years, you start to get a feel for what you can do.
And that's why these games are won in the trenches. And that's why every single NFC West team is bruised and battered after just 2 weeks of playing against each other. True. So again, NFL committee, please. Two in a row is way too many for this. You guys, on the other hand, I got to speak to your 49ers fans. 49er fans, I don't like y'all. I don't like the Niners. But if you don't back up Trey Lance right now, you guys are absolutely insane. I saw something special in that kid. You were playing against one of the better defenses this year. I know it's the Cardinals defense, but this is one of the better defenses and one of the better defensive lines right now as well, too. Give him a chance. He didn't have any time back there. That clock was going off sooner and sooner every single play. And let your own team just get healthy. Let George Kittle be out there, you know. Let all your offensive linemen be out there. And give him a real chance because he's going to be special, man. I promise you that.
I like that, and I think that makes – hopefully that makes some of the 49ers fans in the cutback feel a little bit better.
I was scared watching the game. I thought this was the Trey Lance show, and this was going to be about what Colin Kaepernick did X amount of years ago where he just, you know, started off on this huge tangent run. I thought this was going to be the start of it. So that's from the enemy's perspective saying how terrified I was of him. And I think there's a little validity in that as well.
Definitely. There definitely is. You talked about your Browns, and I wanted to bring this up because you talked about the Browns game you guys got coming up. You guys got a nice little stretch here of games over your next five. You got the Browns, then you got a little bit of a lighter one, right, with the Texans, but then you have an extremely short week playing the Packers. Luckily at home, then you travel to San Francisco. You got the Panthers at home, and then you travel to Seattle. That's a nice stretch of games there. Besides that Browns game, is there one that you're not looking forward to on that schedule here over the next, I think it's the next six games?
I mean, the Texans one, you hope that would be a dub, right? The Browns, I'm at some point we're going to come off our high with their ground game. With Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, what they're doing up there. I mean, I obviously can see us pulling that out. I get like, this is going to be the letdown game, and then we're going to pick it back up against the Texans, and then everything will be okay. Packers won on Thursday night games. As you know, dude, it's a toss up. Being at home always helps. Short week is tough, so you don't know what injuries are going to happen, who might have to sit out just because it's a short week. Honestly, it's just going back up and playing you guys again in what, 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks. This is still going to be fresh in everybody's mind, you know, but your quarterback situation could change as well.
And it's going to be a completely different 49ers roster. By that point, we will have back officially a healthy Jamichael Hasty. You're going to have George Kittle back at that point in time, coming off 3 weeks, technically 4 weeks of complete rest, and not him taking no punishment whatsoever. On top of that,
Don't have a bye week during that time either.
That's true. You guys are still playing and grinding. Mm-hmm. Your bye week is still to come. In fact, you got those 6 games still on the docket, I think, before you even have your bye week.
Last weekend of November.
So you guys play 6 more contests, then your bye week, and then you come off that bye: Bears, Rams, Lions, Colts. So, I mean, I like your guys' finish. The finish to your guys' season, your schedule, it's a little bit more of a smooth sailing. I think the roughest game you guys have in there is obviously that Rams game, December 13th at home on ESPN, and then you have that Cowboys matchup. But there's still a lot of time. Yeah. It should be fun, but there's still a lot of time in the season, and the Cowboys so far, pretty dominant, pretty in control. A lot of things can still change, though, for a lot of teams in the NFL. We saw the Pittsburgh Steelers last year, right? Go 11-0 and then absolutely drop the ball down the stretch and completely fizzle into oblivion. So a lot of football still left.
So sometimes it's good to get a loss when you're a 5-0, 4-0 team. Sometimes it's good to get a loss early on instead of going to the 10, 11, 12 week, because that can be deflating at that point, right? And then a lot of teams want to beat you and a lot of things can happen. So sometimes it's good to get this loss out of the way. I think it's going to be an L for the Cardinals. The Seahawks, I don't know what to expect from them. I really don't. I mean, Geno Smith could come out absolutely on fire, or he's going to throw 11 for 36, right?
It's one of the two.
It's going to be one of the two. And the Rams have a game that is really a must win for them. You can't come out of the Giants game with a loss. That's a must win for them. And then we're going to be right back in a couple of weeks talking about interdivision games. And there's so much time left in the season. I want Cardinals fans to pump the brakes a little bit on this season. Yeah, it's the first time we've been 5-0 since coming to the Valley, but there's so much time. The only thing of 5-0 mark guarantees you is a 5-12 record at this point. That's it.
I like that mind. I like the mindset that you have. You keep talking about, right, the Stockholm syndrome and having experienced the letdowns of the Arizona Cardinals in the past. You guys are in a prime spot right now, though, to exercise all of those demons, not only sitting atop the NFC West. Yes, you're only a game ahead, right, of the Rams and technically the Seahawks as well, but it's still early in the season. You know, Seattle now is going to be having a tough stretch here. The Rams are going to try and reconfigure and find their identity, and the 49ers need to get that offense cleaned up, because the defense can keep doing the things they did against Kyler Murray and you guys. We'll be in every football game. Absolutely. Now can the offense execute at a high level? If the 49ers can get that dialed in, we can put ourselves right back into contention, right back into the conversation. But as of now, head of the table, kings of the NFC West, Evan, your Arizona Cardinals. Did you expect to be thinking and saying that 5 weeks into the season?
Absolutely not. I thought we were going to trounce week one against the Titans because I didn't trust Cliff Kingsbury, but here we are. He's learning. He's becoming a better coach. Things are looking a little bit better. The communication is there. And as I said, we're winning in different ways. And when you win football games in different ways, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, special things can happen in your season, and you never know what to expect, and you've got to be prepared. Maybe the Browns will have a letdown game after that exciting game with the Chargers. Did you see that, by the way? What a hell of a game that was.
That was absolutely nuts. All I can tell you is that a couple of my fantasy teams are very happy that Justin Herbert decided to throw all those touchdowns in the second half. That's about it.
I didn't play anybody on either of those teams, and I am very happy about that. So anything can happen.
You got a nice break in fantasy. My God, you didn't have to face none of them.
No, it's the weirdest fantasy season for me. We have 12 teams. I've scored the 11th most points. I'm all the way at the bottom, but I've had the least amount of points scored against me.
Oh my God. Are you undefeated?
4-1.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So, but every week I've not played a correct player and I've left like 20 or 25 points on the bench too. But you know, that happens to freaking everybody.
That is for sure. I think I'm in five different fantasy leagues this year. If you take out the league that I'm the commissioner in, if you take that league out, my record sits at like, because two of the leagues have you play against the median and you play against an opponent. So you can get two wins every week. If you take all those games into account, those four leagues, I'm like 27 and like six. I'm just I'm just killing it. But the league I'm the commissioner in, 0-5. 0-5. I got five guys on IR currently.
Man, the more I think I know, the more I know I don't know. So I'll just leave you with that.
Man, it's impossible. Fantasy football is impossible. The NFL is too crazy to try and nail any of that down. But we can nail a few things down. NFC West is tough, right?
This has been a really fun season. I feel like more in recent memory. Last season, the COVID season, that didn't count. But every other year since then, I've been a huge fan getting Red Zone and, you know, getting a good breakfast ready to go for Sunday. Got your coffee ready to go. Let's have some fun. But this season specifically seems like a little bit more fun. Unfortunately, the yellow laundry that the referees keep throwing out there just keep on coming. They almost took over the second half of that game, by the way, between
us. They tried.
That was ridiculous. So hopefully that can go down a little bit. This has been an exciting year. We're only on week five, baby.
We still got a long way to go, man. We still got a long way to go, but it's going to be fun.
This season goes into the beginning of December, too, or January. 1-9 is the last Sunday. 1-9. So long. So long to go.
Plenty of time still to go. Evan, man, cannot thank you enough for coming in and dropping by like you always do. Let everyone know where they can find you.
At He's On Fire Podcast, which is the podcast that I am on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. You can also find my personal account on Twitter at Coach Evan B. I'm on there quite a bit, so follow me for my bad takes.
There's some good takes on there, man. There's some good takes on there. Always check out Sam too, the Always Compete Seahawks podcast as well. He'll be back on next week, ready to go, good to go. We'll have a fun conversation next week, especially since we get to see a little bit of what the Seahawks are like now post Russell Wilson and then the Geno Smith era. It'll definitely be exciting. The 49ers won't have much to talk about. We'll just be getting healthy, but a lot of things to talk about with the rest of the NFC West. We'll see you then, Cutback Crew. Evan, always a pleasure. And the quest for the West is just heating up.